everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my young friend Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing the show. Brendan, so much for the rain. The tropical storm took a left turn out into the ocean, and that means we're probably not going to get very much, if anything.
That sounds pretty typical of Tucson weather.
Yeah, especially this year, right? It is Friday, September the 5th, 2025. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, broadcasting from central Tucson in, well, people think we're out at Green Things, but thank goodness we have they have the naming rights to our program in our studio here at the Bustos Media Center in central Tucson. Five radio stations now under one roof, all doing well. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. We'll complete our 15th year with our radio program in January and then push closer to nearly four decades of participation in Tucson media at the end of the year. We have our worldwide live listening of our program at buckmastershow.com. Also very convenient, all of our programs, pretty much everything we've done, podcasts available at buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the program, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A couple of media shout-outs, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan Smith and Paul Ingram, Jim Ninsel, all the team there, Dan Shear at the Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, and Tucson Spotlight. With me in studio on Friday, we bring in a media, one of my colleagues in the media. Today it is Joe Ferguson, my old friend. I've known Joe a long time. Great guy, a great reporter, former Arizona Daily Star reporter, now editor of the online news service Tucson Agenda, which is doing very well. Hey, Joe.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. Good to see you.
Always a pleasure. How was your quick trip to Europe?
It was great.
Your first time over?
Yes.
First time over the pond, and you had a great time. And we welcome back to the program, try to bring him in every quarter, the sheriff of Pima County, Chris Nano. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
You've just come from the 15-week graduation ceremony. We'll be putting some new corrections officers into the jail. What is the situation at the jail?
Well, staffing-wise, they're right at about 96%. These 17 we just put in will put them a little over 100%. But we know the attrition rate. Those are young people who come in and use that as a stepping stone, if you will, to jump into law enforcement. So we're always glad to do that because it also fills our coffers at the commission side of the house.
Whatever happened with this plan to build a new jail or upgrade your current facility?
So that's still in the works. Yeah, in fact, I think
on paper.
Week we met with the architectural designers from the county contracted out of Phoenix. This is now up to the county administrator's office. They're looking into all that, and they've come up with some conceptual ideas of one, where it would be placed. They're right now thinking about that same location and how that would be done. You know, when you build a new jail, you can't just knock one down. You've got to kind of build it, move them in.
Yeah, because where would everybody go? What are you going to do, put them in a tent city?
Yeah, so those things are still up in the air. I mean, in terms of it's moving forward, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak for the county administrator, but the conversation continues to exist. It's a great need. I think every year we've doubled the maintenance cost in there. Mm-hmm. And so last year we spent almost $10 million just in maintaining the facility. Mm-hmm. It's going to be that much or more. So it is about throwing good money after bad type thing. But, it's not, I don't get to call those shots.
Sure.
I just get to say, I ring the bell. We have a problem at the jail. And this contract team, that does work in that environment of building and constructing and maintenance, maintaining correctional facilities. They did a study, I think last spring, and said basically more than 85% of that jail is not rebuildable, is not reusable.
But so, Joe Ferguson, that's $800 million, the cost of a new jail.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we would be talking about a bond. So I think that's something that voters have largely stopped supporting. It seems like every time a bond comes up over at the county, it becomes a free-for-all to add on pet projects.
Yep, yep.
And an $800 million bond becomes a billion-dollar bond, becomes a $1.2 billion bond. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think there's some strategies there. Of course, again, I don't want to speak for the county administrator, but you know, one of the things I pointed out was of the 15 counties in Arizona, we are the only county that doesn't have a jail tax or a public safety tax. It's basically a sales tax.
Really?
And we know that at about, well, you can look at the RTA, I think a half a cent sales tax will get you easily $1 million a year. So you can do the math and see what that would look like.
Mm.
But there's all kinds of strategies for it. Some are thinking maybe you replace one quadrant of the jail and then 4 or 5 years later come back and replace another quadrant. Who knows? That's beyond my
kind
scope,
of a creative approach to it. Joe, go ahead.
The Trump administration has pushed forward an executive order essentially criminalizing homelessness. And so we've worked in homelessness in a different way. We've worked with, you know, very progressive ideas on how to keep down jail populations and not have people with vagrancy issues spend time inside your jail. What would this executive mission do to your population numbers? I mean, do you have the ability to really absorb that if we start criminalizing homelessness?
No, absolutely not. Whether it's homelessness or anything else, we look at our jail population today, it's about just over 1,800 people. That's almost 80-85%. And when you talk about a jail population, you never want to get above 85% because you have some housing challenges with this criminal element should never be housed with this criminal element. I think the obvious reasons, right, for safety. But once you get run out of room, for example, maybe I have 100 people, this type of criminal, but he can never be with this type, and there's only 20 of those. So I could have a room with 20 inmates, but there's 100 bunks in there. There's 100 beds. So there's some vacancy there, right?
Yeah.
Yet the other pod, I've got people sleeping on beds that are on the floor, basically. They call them boats because we've got 100 people in a room that can only house maybe 70. So those are all challenges for us. The idea of criminalizing homelessness, I think everybody I've spoken to realizes that's just not the way to deal with this. I've actually heard some conversation that the state may be looking at finding a better way to deal with those who are mentally ill, have mental health issues. And that's a number of what we see out there. Go back to the 1970s when they had the insane asylums and they closed those down and put people out. This is kind of a rolling stone, if you will, from that time where it's gotten so big and so out of hand that maybe they need to look at things like I've told you about the crisis response center over here on Ajo by Kino South Hospital. They do a great job with a lot of inpatient and outpatient clinics. And that, you know, those are real true health practitioners who know what they're doing with those people. My corrections officers have, you know, they get all kinds of training when it comes to mental health and substance abuse, but it's not even close to what's needed there.
Let's take a quick call for Sheriff Nanos. Matt has called us on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Sheriff. I think you've turned some corners, but at the same time, there's always new problems and old problems that need to be addressed. If I was to prioritize things, first of all, I want to congratulate you on, preventing deaths at the sheriff's office.
In the jail.
Yeah. And I think that's your number one thing you've always got to keep on is working with the ability of your health system to basically prevent that from occurring. The second thing is preventing drugs from getting inside the jail. I think, again, that you should be complimented for, changing policies and searching everybody. The one thing that I was going to ask you about outside of the jail, but, you know, some of your unincorporated responsibilities. The trend we've seen lately with encampments, fires. Any thoughts about that? Is this some sort of new trend, or how would we prevent it?
Thank you, Matt. Before you answer, Sheriff, there are a couple of things he brings up. First of all, no deaths in your jail over a 12-month period? Is that correct?
Correct. That was last year. Right now, we've going from January to today, we've had one.
Okay.
But I don't believe we've had anything fentanyl or drug related.
Okay.
We get people in there who aren't in the best condition and health wise and
so that's quite a turnaround, yeah. Certainly.
Absolutely.
Okay, so yeah. These fires that are turning up in the homeless camps.
Well, so let me. Jim brought up a good point. We deal with our homeless situation a lot different than what the city of Tucson does. One of the things I always tell Tucson Crime Free Coalition's talk to me about it as well. What you see when you drive around this city is a number of homeless people, but I pay attention more to their state of mind. If they're not suffering from mental health, there's clearly some drug addiction stuff there. And Tucson Police, somebody just did a story of the staffing of the Tucson Police Department, how shorthanded they are, and we talked to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is we in the county do not look at homelessness as a criminal activity. We will, if somebody call, first of all, I tell everybody, if you see something and you think there's a crime being committed, call 911. We'll always respond to that. But once we get there, people will call us and tell us there's homeless camps. The first things we do is we send our environmental services team who go with social services, different groups from all walks of life, from mental health to substance abuse, and they go into these encampments and they talk to these people. And if there's a situation where they think that they can do better with them, housing them, whatever, they do that. The only time we're called is, one, if they get into a situation, they see there's a problem that could be endangering them or others, they call us. So we kind of go as we're keeping the peace, just kind of making sure everything's going to be safe, and then we let them do their work. So we do handle it in a little bit different format. For the city of Tucson, to the staffing issues, they just don't have the staffing they had 5 years ago. I think the report I saw showed them 300 down.
What are you down?
We're 300 down.
We're
about from 2016, we were 400 to 2021, we were 400 down. From 12, we had 1,686 to 1,282. That's all staffing. But deputies were well over 500. Corrections was well over 500. In today's world, my corrections team is right at about 420. My deputies are right at around 400. And that's counting the sergeants as well, not just the deputies. I could definitely use more staff. I get it. I understand it. That costs money. But when we talk about what's really happening in our community and you hear these numbers about, and we had this conversation, Bill, that, you know, crime is down. Well, mm-hmm. What are you using to measure that with? If you're using the population study that, one per 100,000 people or one per 1,000 people crime rate is this, and so last year it was 1.1 and today it's 1, I guess that's showing you crime is down.
We're asking the wrong questions.
Exactly.
About crime?
You're using the wrong numbers.
Well,
population grows. If my crime numbers stay the same and the population continues to climb in Tucson, what does my crime numbers look like? They look lower. If we are really being honest, we would look across our community and ask people, do you feel safer? Do you feel safer this year than you did last year, 5 years ago? Do you think you could let your kids ride their bike out in the streets?
Now, what do you think the answer would be if you...
I know the answer because I get them all the time.
When, what are the answers? What do they say?
We have speeding in our neighborhoods. We have... it's too scary to go out after dark. We have people showing up to businesses and getting arguments and they pulling weapons. You know, those look at the youth violence we've seen. Shootings, just random shootings on the streets. No, I don't think anybody in this community would tell you they feel safe going anywhere, that they feel safer. What makes you safe, what makes our community safe, is more police.
Mm.
That costs money. And what does that do when you have more police? you probably have more arrests. You probably have more a larger jail need. You probably have more prosecutorial or defense attorney needs and court needs. All of those things grow. It's a relationship, right? But for me, in my world, I look across the community and say, how do we handle the problems we see every day with the staffing and resources I've got? One way is through technology. Today, this weekend, give you an example. Thank goodness, TUSD and Tanker Verde School District, I'm going to miss some of them, JTED.
Real quickly, because we're up against a break.
Sure. They all are putting on a program where every employee of theirs will have a card on their lanyard that they can hit a button, and it'll turn on cameras all over the place.
Yeah, that's a new system that TUSD has, too.
But that helps us, too, sure, because we tie into that system.
All right. So hold your thought there, Sheriff. Sure. Joe Ferguson is here from Tucson Agenda. Joe will be up to the plate after we take our break. First break of the Buckmaster Friday edition, the Friday Focus interview. We always bring in a newsmaker, and this week it's the Sheriff of Pima County, Chris Nanos. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Welcome back, Buckmaster, on a Friday afternoon. Great to welcome back Mona's Danish Bakery. They took the summer off. They're back with us now. They're always really busy on weekends, and they should be because a lot of people like to go up there, kind of hang out with a pastry. Their Danish Kringle is really the signature pastry that they do, but I love all the pastries, and I really love the carrot cake. Sheriff, are you into pastries and things like that?
Does that have sugar?
Stop in up at Mona's Danish Bakery. It is in the county. It's at Swan and Sunrise Northeast Corner, open at 7 a.m. They take Mondays off, well-deserved, but folks will be pretty much They'll be right there as Steve, the owner, opens the door at 7 tomorrow. Mona's Danish Bakery for everything that you can imagine. Some beautiful Danish pastries at Mona's. Okay, Joe Ferguson is with me in studio. Joe, the editor of Tucson Agenda, the online news service. Joe, why don't you begin segment two questioning of Sheriff Chris Nanos.
Sheriff, you talked about the staffing issue that was brought up in the media last week. What you didn't touch on was a fight between TPD and Laura Conover's office about charging and actually prosecuting. Are you seeing the same problems that TPD is in terms of you are doing the arrests and that never makes it to prosecutions?
I don't know that. So I'm gonna take the players out of this, Laura and Chad, Chief Casmar, yeah. County Attorney Conover. In all of my years in law enforcement, cops are always right. The county attorneys never get it right. The courts get it wrong. You know, and I know Chief Casmar feels the same way on this. We share the frustration. And it is about, we take a case forward that we believe strongly in, that this is a good case. It's a solid case. You need to do something. We have one of those too. Reddington Pass, I think it's Mr. Clifford, who was murdered on Christmas Eve. There's a big fight there with that family in the county attorney's office. We just do what we can do. Here's our investigation. Here's what we believe to happen. It's hard for young cops, especially, to sit back and say, I've got to walk away from it because it's not my role to convict or try.
To push it over the goal line. They have to step back.
Exactly. So in terms of county attorney's office and all of the chiefs in the valley, I'll try to not speak for them all, but we meet regularly and we all share the same frustration in that there could be better communication from the county attorney's office to us and probably from us to her. So you know, we'll see how that plays out. I heard some of the things about, you know, they didn't read their rights. They did read their rights. I'll let TPD fight for themselves. They're pretty good at that.
But are you seeing your cases getting prosecuted at a level that you're happy with?
I think so. The Clifford case is being prosecuted. I think the issue there was
that was the Good Samaritan Christmas Eve case where the Good Samaritan was killed. Go ahead.
Correct. I think they've made some plea agreements there that I can't get into that. That's not for me to deal with. But I certainly understand the family's concerns that the pleas were too light or didn't to them seek the justice that should be sought. So those are struggles for Ms. Conover. And, you know, she gets to make those decisions. And, you know, we don't always see eye to eye on that. Like I say, we believe we're always right. But the reality is we know that
one of the five unions, sheriff's union, police unions, grumbling about low morale, and we've touched on staffing here. Is morale that bad as they're portraying? You know, is it a horrible place to work, as they say?
Well, I don't think so. But again, like I say, what I would tell them is the sheriff's door is always open.
Can they come walk into your office and talk to you?
They have. Not this organization, but members of that organization. People, you know, I wish I had time to spend with 1,500 employees every day when they have an issue, and I just don't. But I do tell them. They have my cell phone number just like you do. I get calls. I get emails. I get texts. You know, when you have an organization that's this large, you're going to have some people who aren't happy. I can easily sit here and tell you, my job's not to make the world happy. But it is, in some extent. Some of my job does involve, hey, we want everybody in our team to be a good frame of mind, come to work, have a good job, do well, improve their lives. We want to be a part of that if it means fighting for pay raises. They've got a pay raise with me every single year. That didn't happen in the previous administration. Is it a big enough pay raise? You know, I get frustrated there too. It's like, oh, well, you got us 5%, but I need
more.
But I don't control those purse strings either. And they know this. What I've told that organization and all of the other organizations, all five associations, bring me a proposal. C- come to me and tell me what it is you want. What are you doing about morale? Because morale is pretty, how do you target that? What is it that, what? Give me a specific problem with morale. Mm-hmm. Oh, you disciplined this guy too harshly. Well, we look at those things, and to be honest with you, ask any of my command staff, they would tell you, one of their biggest frustration is with this sheriff is they recommend discipline and I lessen it. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of a softy in that regard. But, you know, it sometimes discipline happens because we try to use discipline as a form of training.
Mm-hmm.
Keep you motivated, take that problem that you had addressed and turn it into something positive. Mm-hmm.
But you're saying you're a self, you're not a real strict disciplinarian.
No, I don't know. I mean, I think I've been now at this, we're in our fifth year here. I don't know that I've fired three people, maybe.
Really?
Well, it's because, you know, Ricky Garcia, you do crimes like that, I can't save you. But we have people who have been demoted and yet promoted.
Mm-hmm.
If they go out and prove themselves,
but you rarely walk anybody out the door, is what you're saying. Yeah, well, all right, let's go over to Joe Ferguson from Tucson Agenda.
Yeah.
So just to get a better sense about, you know, there was a governor had a big meeting in Sierra Vista today for her border task force. I'm guessing you didn't go. So you're not involved with that. You're not doing anything with it.
No, because here's my problem with that. You know, and the governor said that, you know, she doesn't want to be doing immigration issues, that it's a federal government responsibility, but yet then she devises a task force. I'm sorry, I just disagree with that attitude. That is, you may like my politics or not, it doesn't matter to me. For me, it's about we should be doing the right thing here. Always should be doing the right thing. And Border Patrol has $50 billion with a B dollars. They have 50,000+ agents, now more because they got the National Guard, all these things. You know, I could sit here and talk to you about due process and all those things. That's not my concern. It is, but it isn't. My concern is taking care of a community. And I don't care where you're from, to be honest with you. If you're in my presence, if you're in my community, and you need police assistance, we're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And we don't get there and say, what's your citizenship? I could go on and on about the current administration and all that. What I would tell the governor is, if you're going to throw whatever, $100 million, $180 million to deal with those issues along the border, why are you not coming to this county or to other agencies and say, we don't have that issue. I need money for other things, technology, staffing, but I've not heard from the governor on anything like that. I believe this governor should be coming to all of the law enforcement agencies, not sending out some email, but actually coming down and sitting down with those leaders and saying, what is it you need?
Okay. Are you cooperating with ICE?
No. What do you mean cooperating?
I don't know.
ICE.
If ICE wants FBI, your, do they? DBA. They don't call on you for cooperation, or?
Well, here's. Okay. I've met the director of ICE here in Tucson, the ASAC.
Mm-hmm.
Nice man. He's from Benson. Mm-hmm. He knows our position, but that doesn't mean we're not going to work with them. Mm-hmm. If they call and say, hey, Sheriff, you have a warrant, you got a guy in custody at your jail. When he's released, we'd like to know about it. We tell them, not a problem, just give us a warrant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a warrant, then I'm not going to tell my staff, hey, could you red flag this guy? Because we work within the law, and the law says if you have a warrant, you enter that warrant, a criminal justice warrant signed by a judge, into the NCIC system, and I have you in my jail and we're done charging you, or the state here has said we're done with Mr. Nanos, inmate Nanos, we're done with him. We run you, before we release you, run you in our system. It says, oh, wait, Texas wants Mr. Nanos.
Mm-hmm.
So we call Texas and say, we see you have a warrant for Mr. Nanos. He's about to be released. Are you still wanting him? Yes. Then you have 30 days to do your extradition paperwork and come and get him.
Hmm.
We would do the same with ICE. ICE, do you still want him? But ICE, the way it was, we haven't seen that. Recently, I got into an argument with the U.S. Attorney's Office out of Phoenix. And I say argument. We had a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
the Marshals Service had an individual who we wanted here in Tucson. He was coming from Mexico. He had fled jurisdiction many years ago, probably better than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But he's a bad dude. So mm-hmm. we had a warrant for him.
Okay.
The Marshals Service tells us the Mexican government has him. They're ready to turn him over. This isn't like new stuff. This happens quite often. So we tell the Marshals Service, yeah, no problem. Book him in. They say, well, we can't. What do you mean you can't? We need your signature. We've drafted a letter for you, Sheriff, and we need your signature that you're going to promise that before he's released, you'll call ICE. I said, that's not what we do. I'm not doing that. They got the county attorney's office involved. They got Maricopa. The resolution was, and I was actually surprised because this was the county attorney who took
that
position.
How did it end?
Maricopa County, sheriff there agreed to take him. So they sent him to Maricopa County mm-hmm. on a warrant from the state of Arizona for Pima County. Mm-hmm. And then they transfer him to us. But Maricopa County said, we'll make sure that if he goes, if he's released, we'll let ICE know. That's fine. But if he's coming to my jail, the only way I let anybody know is they have to have a warrant, whether it's ICE, Texas, DEA, mm-hmm. who, mm-hmm. every agency, this mm-hmm. is nothing new. Mm-hmm. That's what's amazing to me is like, why are we creating this atmosphere? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't the county attorney hear you talk about frustration? My frustration was there. Lord, why don't we just simply say, follow the law, get a warrant. We have a warrant for this individual. That's why he's coming to my jail. So if ICE or DEA or whoever wants this guy, get a warrant. Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah.
Joe, jump in here. Joe Ferguson.
You know, I just wanted to ask, my family's lived in Green Valley since 1988. If I go down there and visit my parents and I see a group of masked men in unmarked cars in front of a house or something, should I be calling 911?
I think you should. Mm. I mean, you can always assume that, oh, this is an ICE raid, but there's nothing wrong with calling 911 so we can confirm it. What if it isn't?
Yeah.
Then it
right.
could be worse.
What if it isn't?
And we'll get there and the ICE officers are going to, yes, we know, here's our identification, we're going to verify, and we leave.
Right.
We're just there to keep the peace. ICE has the right to enforce immigration laws. How they do that, manner in which they do that, that's not for the sheriff of Pima County to say. I have my personal opinions, but it doesn't matter. What matters to me is my community, or is my team assisting in those kinds of operations? They better not be, and they know that. They know very clear that the sheriff will not allow for that. Hmm.
Go ahead, Joe.
I just wanted to follow up. I think that you see a large presence, and you see unmasked people, and you don't know any identifying information. You see a lot of different things. But I mean, I could buy almost everything that you're wearing now mm-hmm. from a store tomorrow if I wanted to be disingenuous. But, you know, you are encouraging the community, if they have a concern about such a large-scale kind of operation, to call 911.
Absolutely, I would. Because it takes nothing. Well, first of all, there's a number of things that usually happen in these cases.
Yeah.
Usually. Like, usually you have a warrant when you want somebody out of my jail. But in this case, when we're doing a large-scale event in the city of Tucson, or maybe it's Marana, we call them. We tell them, hey, our SWAT team's going to be doing this. Of course, we work regionally, so that happens anyway. But FBI will call us and say, hey, Sheriff, we're going to be doing this operation in this, and we don't need assistance. Or we do need assistance. Yeah. We need a marked car. So the same thing, you may find yourself out there and saying, hey, there's a large gathering. It looks kind of suspicious to me. It's something going on. Call 911. The dispatcher usually says, yes, we're aware of it. They may not give you a lot of information, but they'll tell, because we can't tell you what that operation entails, because you're putting others at risk. That law enforcement team that may be doing an operation, you could be put. A lot of times what I've seen, and we have not seen anything from ICE in our community, we've seen a lot of people, yeah, knock on wood, we've seen a lot of people call us to say, hey, there's this, there's a lot of cops here, that it's a police event. And then we can say, yes, we know it's HIDA task force is doing a narcotics raid, or mm-hmm. TPD's got the, mm-hmm. so yeah. I hope it stays that way. As you point out, knock on wood, we're not seeing what others across the country are seeing, but you know, it could happen. I'm, I, I have people telling me I'm going to probably be the first sheriff arrested, but you know, you know, we just follow the law. It's pretty easy. We can't write the law. We just follow it, and the law is very clear. If you want somebody who's in our custody, you have a warrant for them. If not, we're releasing them because if the judge says inmate Nanos should be released today because he served his time or the court's dismissed charges, then I'm under the court order to release inmate Nanos. The mm-hmm. only way I don't release them is if there's a bona fide court order called the warrant signed okay. by a judge.
We're quickly running out of time. Are you guys doing traffic enforcement these days?
Yes, but you know, again, that's one of my biggest pet peeves about staffing levels. You know, we've created a team to do it. They're showing great numbers, but it's a small team of 10 people that how often are you going to see them? This is a large environment, just the mm-hmm. metropolitan area. So we do as best we can with what we've got. Hopefully I'll get the Board of Supervisors' ears one day to say, you know what, I think you could use some more help, Sheriff.
Can you use speed guns? Or
we have all of those things. We have all the equipments, and yes, we employ as many opportunities. We work with our partners locally on some operations and things like that, but DUI task forces mm-hmm. and different things. But even those funds have diminished.
How's the cooperation these days between the agencies? And when there's a homicide in one jurisdiction, don't you guys kind of analyze everybody?
You know what?
How you're doing?
So
I forget the name of the group, but sure. Yeah.
What's the PCRIT, our Pima Regional Critical Incident.
How's it doing?
Excellent. But you know, it really has evolved. And it's, when I say excellent, it's bigger than just those cases. Mm. It's put leaders of all the agencies in a room together mm-hmm. to share ideas, to talk things out, and really open up some communication, to share information. Like, for example, Tucson Police has their systems, their database,
yeah.
but it doesn't talk to others. The Sheriff Department has a database. It talks to others. So we're getting on board with Tucson Police so that everybody in this valley...
Yes.
If I made a traffic stop on Chris Nanos last night and mm-hmm. I was in Sarita PD mm-hmm. or Tucson PD or Moran, mm-hmm. we all knew it.
That would
we
be like a metro situation exactly. like they have up in Las Vegas, Clark
Correct.
County. So you're getting closer to an integrated system. Is that what
Correct.
You're saying?
Yes. Yeah. The all the systems talk to each other.
Okay.
And with that, our schools, we're working closely to get mm-hmm. them to be able to not get our information, but give us their information for what we hope never happens, right?
Okay, we're going to have to go. Joe, do you have anything else for the sheriff?
I just wanted to ask, you know, as we talk about these integrated systems, there's a lot of concern that license plates readers are being turned over to ICE. Mm. So do you know if your license plates reader data is being transferred over to ICE, or they have access to it?
You know, I've never heard that, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not, because I don't know. So let me check on that, and I'll get back to you, Joe, because that shouldn't be happening. Mm. The license plate reader systems that are out and about, we really utilize other agencies. They're not really ours. We have very few.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Joe, go ahead. Okay, no, okay. Joe and I have a quick couple of questions together in segment number 3, but as far as the sheriff, we're going to have to let you go right here. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you all for having me.
All Thanks. Right. All segment right. 2 is in the books. We'll be back with Seg 3 after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Hey, Brendan, I like your bump music. Keep it coming there. Brendan Kraft, our fine young engineer producer on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to Sheriff Nanos, our Friday Focus interview today, and Joe Ferguson sticks around for segment number three. In segment number three, we chat a bit with our guest co-host from the media. Joe Ferguson is here from the fine and growing online news service known as Tucson Agenda. Joe, is there going to be a Project Blue eventually somewhere in Southern Arizona?
They seem dedicated to building it here in Southern Arizona. It's just a great question of how they're going to do it and where it's going to show up. You know, obviously the county and the city have put some restraints on data centers now. And so the question is will they... Project Blue tried to pivot and go to Stateland, go to Sarita, go to Marana. We've heard a lot of different
tribal land?
Yeah, tribal lands is also an option. Hell, South Tucson's got some empty land where they could build something too. It's just a question of, you know, how are they going to cool it and how much is that going to cost them? And so I think that there are going to be Project Blue 2.0, 3.0, 4.0 proposals seen in this community, and we'll see, you know, how that works. But one of my biggest concerns is that, you know, if they do go to a different municipality or if they do go to the state or the feds, they could bypass the city council and the board of supervisors who are trying to actively limit and manage growth in
large terms of water users.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. So, and if they go around them, it's going to go do something like the Arizona Department of Water Resources, who, you know, they're not local. They're not elected by us. They're going to be making a bureaucratic decision from a bureaucratic standpoint where local control is lost.
I mean, you could cool these things conceivably with less water and more power. That point is not always made.
Yeah, we've been hearing a little bit about that now, that there's a option to cool these things with
huge amounts of AC, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the RTA is another big story that the Board of Supervisors officially put it on the ballot for next March. Yeah. What will the selling point be?
Well, I think that the selling point is that we don't have a regional transportation authority without the RTA. And the RTA both brings in federal monies on top of the sales tax it collects. And so without an RTA, we would not have the same regional approach to growing our community and making sure that we are ready for growth and we're handling it. And so projects like the 22nd Street Bridge and other things that are a regional problem are still addressed. And so I think that they're going to go back to the voters, say, we're going to fix some of the things that we didn't fix in the first RTA round, and also we are going to look ahead to the future.
I don't think you can write this off as not passing. I think it might have a shot.
Well, I've already heard that there's going to be a group that's going to champion this.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's going to, that's, you know, supporting it.
Oh, sure. That will shepherd this thing through.
Yeah, but I haven't heard of a group yet who's saying, no, we don't want this. And, you know, the usual suspects like the chamber, they're supportive of the RTA. They see the need of it.
Sure.
They understand how it benefits the community as well as businesses and tourism.
Mm-hmm. Any politics you'd like to quickly mention? Of course, we've
just
got the...
don't forget to vote. If you're a CD7 voter, your vote counts, and we will see who wins that race, but it's just 2 weeks away.
What about city election?
You know, I think that we're going to see a brand new council come January. Obviously, they get sworn in. And
we've already got a new one in effect, right? A new council member?
Yep, we do. And so I think that, you know, Miranda's going to be a new force for it, and we'll see how she impacts the city council. But I think that we're seeing a more progressive council coming in 2026.
What about these online groups like the Agenda, Arizona Agenda up in statewide, and then you guys, Tucson Agenda and Tucson Sentinel? It's the whole business is just moving this way to online. You see the Atlanta paper, what was it, the Constitution, going to online at the end of the year.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, we don't print newspapers for the Republic or the Star in our state anymore.
They're up in printed in Las Vegas.
So I think that, you know, printing is going away a little bit faster than I had assumed. And so I think that a lot of people are going to online. Then the question is that how do you capture people? How do you do it? Is it a newsletter? Is it a podcast? What does that look like? And so we are still trying to figure that out and find, you know, our readers and make sure that our stories are being widely distributed.
Mm-hmm. And how does someone take a look at the agenda? Initially, is it free and then you have to pay or what?
You have two choices. You could absolutely be a free member and we will email you a copy of the edition every morning. People who are subscribers that help our journalism make sure that we're going to be here a year from now, they have options to get more information, participate in polls, comment on stories, and get access to the staff. And so I think that those kind of things are things that people are willing to pay for and support.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned just a moment ago that the regular newspapers are going away a little faster than you thought.
I just mean the printed editions.
Printed. I mean, I would tend to agree with you. It seems like it's really accelerated.
It really does. And, you know, I do have some concerns about whether it's practical to have a newspaper printed in Las Vegas. I mean, how many hours is it between news cycles?
What's your deadline going to be?
Well, I mean, you know, if you want to read the sports scores, if you're a Wildcat fan, is it going to be in the next day's edition?
Yeah.
If it's being trucked from Las Vegas, and I've made that trip. It's a good 7-hour drive.
It is. I've made it myself. All right, Joe Ferguson, Tucson Agenda. Good work, Joe, for what you're doing, and thanks for your participation here with our program. Thank you.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Okay, coming up next, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That's right after this.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
It is time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now for an enchanting weekend in the land of enchantment. That's New Mexico. Silver City in Grant County, easy 3-hour drive east of Tucson. You'll have a ton of things to do. And what a perfect time of year to get outside, do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, or just hanging out in historic downtown Silver City. Check out their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Leslie Lois is with us from 101.7 The Drive. A big weekend. Leslie, a huge Green Bay Packers fan, has her Packers blouse or t-shirt, whatever you call it. Look, it's ready. It's Packer ready. Let's put it that way.
I even have shoes on.
You've
Packer
got
shoes.
Packer shoes. Well, Leslie, of course, showing her roots from the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on here in Tucson this weekend?
There's some cool stuff. So weather-wise, I mean, maybe we'll get some rain, but if not, I think it'd be kind of cool to try this out. Catalina Nights are going on, and that's where you can experience a Catalina State Park after dark with a 1-mile guided hike on the nature trail. This happens every first and third Fridays of the month, and you just have to pay the park entry fee. And this is Catalina State Park. You could go check out. And I think tonight this would be a beautiful thing to do. Is the Tucson Museum of Art is doing a rooftop happy hour.
What?
Yeah. They're doing these every Friday in September. There's going to be curated beer, wine, and mocktails.
Where's the rooftop?
I know, right? Well, I guess it's on the Tucson Museum of Art rooftop terrace.
Oh.
I know. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, don't know about that.
Yeah, it's at 140 North Main. So again, that's going every Friday from 5 to 8.
Hmm.
And you know, we're getting close to Halloween, right? So there are actually haunted Halloween or hotel tours going on every Wednesday and Sunday at Hotel Congress. The ones on Sunday is going to be at 2:00 and 3:00, and they take you down scary secrets like the staircases and the Victorian gentleman in room 214 and other spooky ghosts.
Yeah, I've stayed in a few of those hotels that feel like there's a ghost in the room, but this sounds like it's really zeroes in on some very scary thing.
Yes. And of course, big football game, U of A football taking out Weber State tomorrow night, Arizona Stadium. I believe it's 7:30 is the game.
Probably so right. 7:30.
It'll be interesting to see if maybe we get some rain for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crossing my fingers on that.
I think the Weber State team is called the Wildcats too. I could be wrong.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. They have another big game coming up against Kansas State next Friday.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Wildcats off to a pretty good start, knocking off handily the Rainbow Warriors last week from Hawaii. I'll take another one if you've got a real quick one,
yeah,
Leslie.
Yeah, Vegan Tucson Night Market is going to be going on tomorrow night, 6 to 10. This is happening at Rito Park. It is free to attend, but they're going to have vegan food, drinks, vintage finds, live music, tattooing, and more. So, yeah, if people are vegan out there, it might be kind of a cool thing to check out. Mm-hmm. Again, Rito Park going on from 6 to 10 tomorrow night.
Yeah, that does sound very interesting. Yeah. Okay, Leslie Lois, we will look for your work and the work of all the great folks, the air personalities at 101.7 The Drive. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Go Packers,
go
right?
Pack.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of our program. My thanks to Brendan Kraft, who's engineering and producing our programs on Friday. On behalf of all of us at KVOI and Bustos Media, we hope you have a wonderful weekend.